2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen. Skies so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, 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 hey. It's a sunny day. Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, 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 hey. It's just a sunny day. Hey, 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 it's a sunny day. It's just a sunny
the KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis with you this morning. We'll be taking your calls and questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Good morning, Ton.
Good morning to you.
You've been very busy this week. You put up a new video.
Yes, just a real brief video on how to transplant a houseplant into a bigger pot. It seems to, you know, on the surface it'd be simple, and it is, but a lot of people have questions, and it's a great time.
Yeah, it's a great time with 100 degree temperatures, and people want to just escape to the indoors for a bit.
Work inside.
Right. So, yeah, I thought that was really fun, and I want our listeners to make sure and go check it out. It's on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page.
You also put up a video.
You know what? Caitlin and I are a little... Oh, I did put up a video. I did put up a video of pianist Gerald Simon's yard. This man has the most incredible walkways with all of these different types of perennials and fruit trees, and they are just magnificent, and you want to check those out as well. And then Caitlin and I are working on a couple of videos for you. We have one on a succulent bed that we've put together that's almost done, almost is in the editing process. I wanted her to take a few more things out. And then we have a fun video that we're going to be showing you in a couple of weeks. We really like to highlight some fantastic gardens in our valley, at least do one or two in the summer. And if you know of someone that you'd like us to highlight their garden, hey, make sure and go to the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page on Messenger and tell us. But we have a fantastic garden to tell you about in a couple of weeks, and it's Randy Blackburn's garden. And I know some people know of Randy Blackburn because not only is he just an amazing artist and has taught watercolor and all sorts of things, but he is also one of the designers of the gardens at Thanksgiving Point, and he's done a lot of landscape design, just part of his art, his artistry, his work. So you'll want to see his story coming up in just a couple of weeks. This week, though, the plant of the week is lemon mint.
It is. It's actually lemon, I'm getting my words crossed, Monarda.
It's your turn.
So there are several mints that have lemon in them. Mm-hmm. And this one is lemon Monarda or lemon bee balm.
Okay.
So,
and what makes it different?
It's a different species, and so it has a different growth habit. It's in the mint family, but it can self-seed, but it stays, you know, a couple of feet high and wide. And the reason I wanted to highlight it is that it's fairly water-wise, and we've never covered it, and it blooms most of the summer.
Okay, and what does the bloom look like?
It looks somewhat like a mint family flower mint. It's a lighter pink to a darker, almost, not really lavender pink, but maybe just some hints of lavender in the pink. Mm-hmm. And when you especially grab the leaves and just rub them in between your hands a little bit, there are scents of oregano and lemon in it. And so this is a North American native. It's native actually to much of the United States, excluding Utah, but it does well here. And it's used in herbal teas and can be used in salads and for cooking quite a few things. But it's just quite a pretty plant.
Carlos is our new producer for the KSL Greenhouse, and he's already got this beautiful plant up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. I was checking it out to see if it's the variety that I have in my yard. It is not. It is beautiful. It has a very beautiful flower.
It does, and this is one that, as I worked in industry for quite a while, I didn't see, and it's becoming more popular, but you may, if you raise your own herbs or you sow your own plants in the spring, is one that you may start from seed, but I am seeing it around more, and I think bigger vendors are starting to carry it.
Okay, my big question is, I do have several different kinds of mint in my yard, and some of them are just, they take over. Is it like the spearmint that just takes over?
No, it stays a little more contained. Now, it can get some size to it, and it will self-sow if you don't deadhead it. Mm-hmm. But you can take a gardening hoe out, or if you want to transplant the little starch, you can do that. But it doesn't form, I guess what we'll politically correctly call a ground cover.
Okay.
It really does.
I mean,
yes.
I love it because it's one of those things that in Mediterranean families with that Greek background, my grandmother grew. And so this is her mint. But honestly, if I don't keep track of it, it just takes over my herb garden.
They really do. And so there are a few mint family plants that do that, the spearmint and peppermint especially. But there are many in the mint family, like the Monardas, that can get, you know, some of them can get 3 or 4 feet, but they don't take over the entire yard. And what you need to do is just look at the eventual size and give it room that it needs, depending on the particular cultivar and species. You know, we've covered other cat, like the Walker's Low Cat Mint, mm-hmm. and some others that only get to be about a foot high and wide, that are in the mint family. And so it's just all over the place. But the mints themselves, the entire family, has many members that can get up to size quite quickly and a little bigger. But there's a few of them that do go crazy.
Yeah, love the fact that it's water-wise. We're trying to focus more on water-wise plants. Does it need to be planted in any special place in the yard?
It doesn't tolerate heavy clay really well. So if you're in areas that you have water that pools and it doesn't drain away well, it will tolerate some clay if the water drains. But it does well in rocky soils and sandy soils. And I imagine once established, it's going to need to be deeply watered about every 10 days to maybe 2 weeks.
And did I get that right? It blooms for most of the season?
It does, from June through August into early September.
Yeah, one thing I did post this week on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page was the perennial verbena, which I love because it, again, blooms for most of the summer.
It does. It's
always looking
one.
For those, right?
And those are drought hardy. And I was going to do that one as the plant of the week, and I'm planning on it next week.
Perfect.
So.
Perfect. It's a fun one. It's a beautiful plant. And like I said, I'm always looking for something that's going to fill those areas. I don't want to plant as many annuals as I have in the past. I used to like plant like a dozen flats of annuals, and you know what? It's just too much. And so I've tried to fill in with perennials, and this is one of my favorites just because it blooms all summer.
It is, and the perennials fill a gap like what the annuals do, but you have so many varieties of flowers in the perennials that you can't get with the annuals. And as long as you stagger the bloom times, they're just such an important part of the yard.
I love it. I love it. Anything else on the lemon mint that you'd like to add?
Just look for it. And it's an alternative to the regular Monarda species or the regular bee balms. It does attract a lot of pollinators in. So, and that's a good thing if you have anybody allergic to bees, it might be one you want to be careful with. But, you know, overall, if you're trying to increase the overall drought hardiness of the yard and increase the number of beneficials, this is one that just fits that mission quite well.
Right, and it's readily available?
Somewhat. It's becoming more popular. You may need to plant it from seed, but you do find it in stores that carry perennials.
All right. And you can read much more about it on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Carlos has already put an article up for you. Already the calls coming in. We'll take your calls and questions coming up next. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning. We are taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. And let's go right to our phone lines this morning. We have Sam waiting in Harriman. And good morning, Sam. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. So I have a question about my lawn has some really brown spots in there. And I'm watering quite a bit, like every third day for like 20 minutes to half an hour, and I'm still getting some brown areas. I've dug up areas, and it seems like the roots are going down pretty deep, so I don't think it's kind of insects. I'm thinking it's something, some kind of a disease.
Well, it could be. You said that how often are you watering?
It's like every third day for like 20 minutes to a half an hour.
Okay. And in these areas, are they in situated where they get a lot of sun or maybe against the south side of your home or anything?
They're all over through the lawn. It's both on the north side, the south side.
Okay.
It's not any particular area.
Have you tried pulling up on the grass itself?
Yes, it actually doesn't just come right up.
Okay, good. So that you've eliminated between digging and then pulling on the lawn, you've eliminated insects. The next thing to check for in these brown areas, now when you were digging around, did you confirm that the soil is moist in the brown areas?
Yes, I dug up like 2 to 3 inches and it's moist all the way down.
Okay, you'll probably want to go about 6 inches deep at least to make sure, and we'll assume right now that there's enough water, and so that brings us to a fungal disease, but to know which one, it can be difficult. So are you seeing any, when these spots first appear, are they at all hook-shaped or rings, or what's the pattern?
It's not rings. It just gets grows bigger and bigger.
Okay.
And it's covering a pretty good amount of area.
It may be a necrotic ring spot, but what I would recommend doing is collecting some samples and mailing them up to the Utah State University Pest Lab. And you can go to, if you go to utahpests.usu.edu and then go to sample submission, or just Google sample submission USU Pest Lab and download that paperwork, and it'll be anywhere from $14 to maybe around $25, depending on what you need done. But you would collect a sample, and it'll give instructions on how to do that, where it's just freshly brown with some green lawn in it, and mail that up, and their diagnosticians will take a look and see if they can tease out what potentially is making it go brown.
Okay.
Now, I would recommend doing that because most fungal diseases, you just see brown patches. And you could take the shotgun approach and do a fungicide. But if it's necrotic ring spot, it may not help because the time to use a fungicide has passed and you need to use other management techniques to keep it under control.
Okay.
Now,
appreciate
one
it.
Other question, and I don't think this is what's causing it. Some areas of Harriman are using Utah Lake water to irrigate, and sometimes that Utah Lake water can be just a little bit salty, and it builds up over time. And so one other thing I would do just to eliminate it as a problem is also submit a soil sample to the USU, I sound like I'm selling off USU services, but the USU Soil Lab. And so the other website you would go to is usual.usu.edu, so the word usual, then .usu.edu, and do the routine test. And that will give you a salinity reading, alkalinity, phosphorus, potassium, and then a soil texture. And we're hoping it's coming back normal, and that would just say that my soil isn't the problem. The other thing it can do is help you detail what fertilizer to use, because if you have excessive nutrients or you're short in like phosphorus or potassium, it'll help you decide what fertilizer to use to keep your lawn healthy.
And would I take that just the same way, the same kind of sample?
Yeah, and so you would collect 2 measuring cups of soil from different areas of the yard, or, you know, from areas where it's most brown, if you want to do that. And you would put 2 measuring cups worth into a Ziploc. And then when you download the paperwork, there'll be an address that you can mail the sample to.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Sam, thanks for your call this morning. Ton, our next listener, has a couple of questions. The first is about little tiny worms that are making their way into their apricots. They say they've sprayed, according to the U of U pest control information, the newsletter, but they are still getting these little worms. They say there are a lot of apricots where they don't have the worms. Is there anything they can do at this point for those?
Well, it's the USU Pest Lab newsletter. It's probably just a typo in the text.
Yes,
no,
and I read it right as it was written.
Yes.
Sorry about
that. I'm going to give credit.
Give
where
it where it's due, right?
Due.
Okay.
Yes. So the USU Pest Lab newsletter. So I suspect that it is peach twig borer. And it's a little uncommon, but it's the only common pest that has little caterpillars or little, I guess, air quotes here, worms that get into the fruit. And so at some point, they've probably missed an application for peach twig borer. It's one of those pests that you'll have 1 year and then it goes. And so what I'd recommend doing is just doing an internet search on USU and peach twig borer for application times and products. But the borer will get into the limbs or the twigs in the spring, and then they move to the fruit later.
Okay, and hopefully I'll wake up here in a second and be able to, I want to say, interpret correctly. There we go.
No, I was just joking.
No, I appreciate it. Also, they want to know if they can prune out some of their blackberry branches right now that have grown over the fence and into their neighbor's yard. They've had these for many years.
Yeah, they can. And on the blackberries, there are one that people don't often keep them trimmed back, but there's an actual pruning protocols for raspberry or for blackberries that you can keep them to a fairly manageable height, but it takes putting them on a trellis and doing some pruning in early July and then in early August to head back the new growth. But if you do that, you'll get better fruit, larger fruit, and then you can keep those so that they don't get out of control.
All right. But
so
will it
if they need
them
to,
they
can.
Need to just, yeah,
no.
Lop off
if they nip here and there, no.
Okay. Next question is, and I've got my interpreter hat on again. It says, what do you do for summer parch? And everybody's lawn is parched right now. I'm thinking they mean patch, summer patch.
Yeah. Summer patch is one that you treat very similarly to necrotic ring spot. USU has a fact sheet for both out there. So water, you know, we can't really spritz every day because of the drought. Many places are in restrictions. But deep water the best you can. Keep your fertilizer not over-fertilized, but keep on what USU would call a moderate program. You can download USU's fertilization fact sheet. But the time to treat for a lot of these diseases is in the spring and fall, if you're using fungicide.
I make light of it, but really, truly, most people's lawn, unless they're doing a lot more watering, they are parched right now.
Yeah, I've got, you know, with watering twice a week, south exposure on my yard's going brown, the edges along the walks, and, you know, as much as it kills me, I want to water those areas. I don't. And I'm just doing the best I can.
You know, the problem with it, too, is though you're expecting your lawn to be yellow in some spots. So then you don't notice that it's like cutworms or something else causing yellow. That's the biggest problem for us.
Yes. And I think, you know, we hopefully have Kelly Cope coming on at 10 and she's going to talk about how to maintain a dormant lawn. so a brown lawn, but keep it alive, and then watering trees and shrubs, you know, to keep them alive if they're in lawn areas. So we'll have that coming up, but you really do, if you see brown spots, don't just assume they're drought. They probably are, but tug on the grass to make sure it's not insects. And when you do irrigate, you know, just see what you can do to make sure that the soil is moist on the days you can.
All right. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Today's lawn care tip is sponsored by Biograss.
It's Clark Bell with Biograss Sod Farms, and this is your tip of the week. We continue to fight drought conditions throughout Utah, and even Biograss, as a lawn and garden retailer, want to remind everyone just how important it is to conserve our precious water. With that, you should know, if you water just one time less per week, you'll save an estimated 3,000 gallons of water on a standard 1/4 acre lawn. Grass really is resilient, and companies like Biograss, who have researched and developed sod for Utah's desert climate, can assure you that your grass will grow back. Also, try not to water if it's windy, even above 10 miles per hour. Make sure you're watering at the best times to promote water absorbency in the lawn and in your sod. That means you're not watering between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. right now. Your city may even have watering time guidelines to follow. And finally, you can raise your mower one notch, which will encourage deep root growth in your lawn. To get more lawn and garden tips and to view our award-winning products, visit biograss.com. That's biograss.com. Biograss is the science of great sod and soil.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.